If you will turn your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 7, and we're going to turn this mic off and this one on, maybe. Is that good? Are we on? Can you hear me now? There we are. In 2 Kings chapter 7, the title of this sermon is Why Sit We Here Until We Die? If you look back in chapter 6, you'll find where Elisha was found himself being hunted down. The king of Syria wanted him. And they came and they surrounded the place, and his servant, Gehazi, he said, man, we're in trouble. Look at all these guys. They've come to get us. And so Elisha prayed that God would open his eyes. And he opened his eyes and he saw the chariots of fire and the soldiers. And he knew that he was on God's side. And he wasn't in as much trouble as he thought he was. It's kind of ironic because God blinded all the soldiers' eyes. And Elisha, and they led them back to Samaria. And then God opened their eyes, and then they said, boy, we're in trouble now. And the king said, well, what do we do with all these people? Do we put them to death? And Elisha said, well, no. Fix them a feast and feed them and send them back home. And so they did. Sometime later, they came back, and Samaria was under siege, and it was so bad, the famine was so bad, two women inside, they made a pact with each other. We'll eat your child one day, and the next day we'll eat my child. Chapter 6, you read it. And they did, they ate the one child, and the other lady hid hers, and she went to the king, and she was fussing about this and crying about it, and I guess so, that would be right. And the king said, well, you know, what can I do? Look how bad the famine is. And when you come to chapter 7, we'll pick up reading in verse 1. It says, then Elisha said, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Then a lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? And he said, behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shall not eat thereof. And the famine's going to end just like that. Well, how's that going to happen? And then we come to verse 3. And there were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate, and they said one to another, why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore, come, let us fall unto the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live, and if they kill us, we shall but die. And they rose up in the twilight to go into the camp of the Syrians, and when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said to one another, lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their donkeys, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink and carried thence silver and gold and raiment and went and hid it. And came again and entered into another tent and carried thence also and went and hid it. Then they said one to another, we do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray tonight that as we look into your word, I pray, God, that it will fall fresh upon our hearts and our minds, that it will take root and grow. And help us to respond in a manner that's pleasing to you. For these things I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, here were these four leprous men. The famine in the gates was as bad as it could get. They were cast out. Here they were alone. And they said, well, we'll just go out here and if they kill us, fine. If they don't, well, all right. And they had it all figured out, didn't they? All the bad scenarios that could happen, that's what was on their list. But I dare say what actually happened was not on their list. How many times have you been in a situation where you thought, man, I am at the end of my rope. And you line up all the scenarios. I can promise you line up all the scenarios from the worst to the next to the worst to the really bad to the bad. And you just don't even think the good is going to happen. But we serve a living God. We serve a God who can. We serve a God who answers prayer. And that's where we ought to go first with our issues in our lives. But you know, I want us to think tonight about the statement, why sit we here until we die? You know, when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you should live like you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You don't have to wait for God to bless you till you get to heaven. But a lot of people, they'll say, well, I'm going to wait. You know, I've got plenty of time. I don't have to get saved today. How many people thought that before 3 or 4 days ago? You know, your tragedy in life might not be an earthquake or a tsunami. It might be a heart attack. It might be a drunk driver who crossed the road and came in front of you. It might be someone who had a medical issue and you had a car accident and passed away. You might have a heart attack or stroke. And we don't know what today holds. Why sit we here until we die? First of all, I want us to think about the question, why? Probably the most asked question ever. You know, as human beings, we question everything, don't we? They start early. You tell your kids to do this or to do that, and what do they say? Why? And what do we say? Just because. And you know, if we don't question a lot of things, we probably should. We probably should. It's like the man and the his wife was sitting on the couch and she said, go get me some potato chips. And he said, if you want potato chips, go get them your own self. She said, if you don't get me some potato chips, you won't see me for 3 days. He said, well, la-dee-da. And the first day he didn't see her, and the second day he didn't see her, and the third day he could see her just a little bit out of his right eye. See? He should have asked, why won't I see you for 3 days? He should have asked why. It's okay to ask why. You know, problems arise when we don't question the source that we're getting our information from. Eve got information from a bad source, and we've been in trouble ever since. When you choose to use any source about creation or relationships or eternity or salvation, when you choose to use any other source than God's Word, you're going to mess up. If someone comes up to you and says, well, you know, you have to live a good life to get to heaven. Well, you and I know better. But ask them why. You know they don't know or they wouldn't believe that. But ask them why. Well, can you show me where that says that in the Bible? And then go to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 and show them where it says, for by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. when someone comes up and they say, well, I'll tell you what I believe, the red flag goes up. You know, did you know that it doesn't amount to a hill of beans what you and I believe? You know what matters? What matters is what does the Bible say? Because a lot of people believe things that aren't in the Bible because they've been taught those things all their life. You need to ask why. If you have questions about the Bible, get in here and study and to read and learn. It's okay to ask why. When somebody says, well, but what about this and what about that? I had somebody ask me one time, what do you believe about such and such? And I don't remember the conversation, but I said, well, now, what the Bible says. And they said, no, I don't want to know that. I want to know what you think. You can't take what I think away from what the Bible says. You'll get in trouble. Stand on God's Word, 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You can wrongly divide the word of truth. Lots of people do it. You should ask why all the time. In Acts chapter 4, verses 10 through 12, we'll look at several verses. Acts chapter 4, 10 through 12. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That little fat or skinny Buddha, whichever one you think you've got, will not get you to heaven. That little old philosophy you've got will not get you to heaven. Your work ethic will not get you to heaven. Jesus Christ is the salvation of mankind. That gets you where you need to be. It's okay to ask why somebody believes something else, especially if they're wrong. Because somebody needs to show them the truth. Somebody needs to show them the truth. Why sit we here until we die? The word sit is a pretty good word, isn't it? But you know what? God is a God of action. God is a God of action. That's why you don't sing standing on the promises while you're sitting on the premises. Amen? You got to get up out of the pew and get at it. God is a God of action. God told Abraham to go, and Abraham got up and went. Didn't even know where he was going. Young people, when your parents tell you the next time to get up and go, surprise them. Get up and go. Right then. And then help them pick their jaw up off the floor. But you know, God is a God of action. He told Jonah to go. What happened with Jonah? He told Jonah to go to Nineveh, and what did Jonah do? Jonah went down to the docks, and then he went down into the ship, and then they threw him overboard, and he went down into the water, and he just kept going down. And when God asks you to get up and go, or to get up and do something, or just to speak up, or whatever it is, we just need to get up and go and do what he says. We can go the other way, but you're going to get in a lot of trouble. Matthew 28, 19 and 20 says, go ye into all the world. That ye is you. Don't ask your pastor to do all the visiting, or the deacons to do all the visiting, or the Sunday school teachers to do all the visiting. When you got saved, you became a missionary for Christ. If God puts someone on your mind and they're lost, call the pastor up and say, Brother Randy, so-and-so's on my mind and I know they're lost and I'm going to go see them. Can you come with me? Go with the pastor. Go with somebody and do the visit yourself. After all, God put them on your heart for a reason. But we're to be missionaries. We're to go. God is a God of action, and we should be Christians of action. You know, at work, we should go the godly path and be representatives of Christ. At home, we should go that godly path as a husband or a wife or a father or a mother or a brother or a sister. And we should be willing to go in action when God calls us, whether it's across the street, across the country, or across the church, wherever it is. We should be willing to go into action. You know, a lot of churches have a lot of pew members in them. You know what a pew member is? They sit, they soak, and they sour. And that's all you get out of them. And we need to get up out of our pews, because when we go out those doors, that's where the work starts. That's where the work starts. It's easy to come to church and sit in fellowship. The joy we get from it, it's necessary as a Christian. It's like taking your car to the gas station and you get fueled back up. And God speaks to you through other people and through the sermons and through the lessons. But it's in order for you to take what you've learned and go back out through the week and distribute that to everybody that you run into. Why sit we here until we die? We, what's so important about we? Well, I'll tell you. It's not about what others are told to do. It's about what God has told you to do. They weren't worried about everybody else. It was just them. As a church, what does God tell you to do? Where to go to evangelize? Where to go to do missions work? As an individual, when you're in the grocery store or just anywhere, you know, you can talk to just about anybody about Christ. I was in Knoxville one time. A guy come across the parking lot. He said, "Do you have a light?" I said, "No, sir, I don't smoke." And so he walked off, and I got to thinking. All along, I had a light. I forgot to get it out. But I'm ready the next time. The next fellow or lady asked me, if I've got a light, I'm going to pour it to them. I got a light. I'm going to shine for Jesus. There's no reason why you can't do what God has laid on your heart to do. Don't spend your time worrying about what all these other church members are doing. You know, God will get a program going in a church, and He doesn't tell everybody in the church to work on that program. He doesn't need everybody. He'll tell just enough people to get it done. And if He has you to work on a program, work on it. Give it all you've got. And don't worry if there's not ever the whole church doesn't jump on the bandwagon. That's okay. It's what God has told you to do. And you know, the burden sits on your plate. Pick up your knife and your fork and go at it. When we went to Barbados, Fitzroy and Lorraine, his wife, and Pastor Tony had come back, and his wife, they took me and Cliff out to the ship's end. And I felt bad that they wouldn't let us pay, but after I saw the ticket, I was glad we didn't have to. And I said, "Fitzroy, I don't know what all this stuff is. You just fix me a plate." And so he did, and we were milling around, and I got around to this one thing, and I said, "Now, what is this?" He said, "That's pig's tail." And I thought, "How in the world do you eat that?" There was a little meat on there. And so I got to watching them. And while they just picked it up and spit, you know, it's got a lot of cartilage in it. And they just spit that cartilage out like watermelon seeds. And I thought, "Well, I can do that. I've spit watermelon seeds out a lot of times." But you know what? That was what was on my plate. That's what I had to eat. God may put something different on your plate. But whatever He puts on your plate, you can just rest assured you will be able to handle it. He won't put anything on your plate that you're not ready for. He won't give you anything that you can't already find the strength within yourself. God does not send you down a path, but what He hasn't gone down that path already and prepared it for you. But it's your path. Go down it. When God opens the door, go through it. No, we don't always know who's standing on the other side of that door when we knock on it. But that's okay. That's okay. It's not a monster. They're just people. Just people. And they're just as scared to open the door as you are to see it open. Because they don't know you either. And also, here. The word here. What's so important about the word here? Well, I'll tell you, because here's where you are. Wherever you are spiritually in life, that's where you are. That's important. Because if you know where you are, then you can listen to God and He can show you where you need to be and show you how to go from where you are to where He wants you to be. It's like the boy that went off to war and he wrote his girlfriend a letter every single day and told her how much he loved her every day. She got that letter from the mailman every single day. You know who she married? She married the mailman because he was there. It's important to be here. Look, it's important to be here Sunday morning. It's important to be here Sunday night. It's important to be here Wednesday night. Because you're a part of a fellowship that needs you. You may say, well, I'm not much. But you are what God has made you, and that's plenty. As a matter of fact, you're necessary. You're needed around here. Everybody is needed. We need to show up and come back on Sunday nights. In 1 John chapter 5, verses 9 through 12. 1 John chapter 5, 9 through 12. Where are you spiritually tonight? Where are you spiritually tonight? We can nail this down. We can do this. Starting in verse 9, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he hath believed not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Where are you spiritually tonight? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And then you have the Son and you have life. But if you have never come to the point in your life where you realized that there was nothing you could do to save yourself, if you've not ever come to that point and accepted Jesus Christ as payment for your sin debt, then you're lost and you have not the life. Well, yeah, it's about that simple. You have either accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or you have not. It doesn't take months to figure it out. God makes it so simple. You see, it's all about Jesus Christ and what you do with Jesus Christ. But here's the real important thing. You have to do it this side of death. You don't get another choice when this old body gives up. And how many of us here tonight know when this body is going to give up? We don't. Now, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's okay. Amen. That's all right. But if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's a problem. You're like these four leprous men sitting at the gate. You've got a real sin problem that you can't fix. But the answer is Jesus Christ. He died on a cross because there had to be a sacrifice, a sinless sacrifice. And Jesus Christ was that sacrifice. He died for the sins of all lost mankind. My sins, your sins. Matthew chapter 22. You'll find a story. We're not going to read the whole story. We're just going to read verses 12 and 13. I know lost people everywhere are trying to make excuses for their condition. But in Matthew 22, 12 and 13, it says, "And he saith unto him," you see, there was a guy who went to a wedding and he didn't have a wedding garment. "And he said unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment?" And he was speechless. Speechless. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You see, there is a heaven to gain. There is a hell to shun. And it's real. I'm not trying to scare you, but it's the truth. Because God's word is absolute truth. Amen. Speechless. Everyone's going to bow before God someday. He's either going to be your salvation or he's going to be your judge. And if you bow before God as your judge, you will bow speechless, without excuse. Nothing you can say that will do any good. Where are you spiritually? Do you have the Son, Jesus Christ, in life? Or do you not have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and therefore you don't have life eternal? It's important where you are right now. And then until we die. Until we die. You know, in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, it says, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. You're going to die. It's going to happen. You just don't know when. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Can you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? You know, you may be in a rut spiritually. You may be dealing with a habit of sin. You may have health issues, financial issues, or whatever it is. Why sit we here until we die? Why wait? Why put it off? Today can be the day of salvation for you. We're going to have an invitation in a moment. I'll ask the musicians to go ahead and come. We're fixing to have a hymn of invitation. If you're here tonight and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you come forward. There will be someone here to receive you. Another way you can respond tonight is this. You know somebody who's lost. Family member, neighbor, co-worker. If God has laid somebody on your heart. Now I want you to know this altar is not up here just to look pretty. It's here to use. You know when Elijah built that altar before God, you know what he had to do before God sent fire down from heaven? He had to fuel that altar. We need to be fueling the altar and praying for the lost people that we know that God will give us the words to say, the right visit to make, the right hug to give when it's needed. Why wait? Why sit we here until we die? I have a word of prayer and then we'll stand and sing. If God has spoken to your heart tonight, you respond as God would have you to respond. Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for loving us. I want to thank you for Jesus Christ, who can save the most sinful person and can move the Christian to do great and mighty things for the kingdom of God. These things I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You come.